Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about Podomation Update. This is a sort of curious podcast where I actually report on developing the software to publish and contain podcasts going forward. So let's give a little overview of what's happening. So as part of cardiac rehab, so I've had two heart operations and my brain's got knocked around a bit, and so part of it is doing lots of podcasts, being able to speak coherently for a length of time on a topic, have various recalls. It's all cognitive type of stuff, and I'm pleased to say that eventually the medical people are catching up. They're doing brain scans and taking histories, and eventually I'll get proper help. But in the meantime, I've sort of naively groped forward and pushed myself into doing these podcasts. And as I've been doing it, I've sort of been sort of like hazed, realizing strategically, oh, I want to get a series of podcasts out. It's got these properties that various people could hear it. It's sort of publication, it's live, it's a bit light, sort of a bit of a throwaway piece of work, which you tend to do when you're doing research. You take notes and you put them aside. You may not look at them again, but you've gone through the process of taking notes, and there's all the different threads of thought that I had to bring together, and the fact that I was reading books or reading articles, and it's taking a while to actually check that you understood them or memorize them properly. So you'd read an article and then you'd forget about it halfway through. So it would be a hard thing to do. This is sort of often when people hear you speaking like that, they get a tiny little miniature violin and pretend to play it, you know, an imaginary violin. But that's the actual background story to. Now, of course, producing podcasts, I've sort of had another life as a robotics sort of industrial engineer, where factory workers are doing a certain amount of processing. It may be high-tech processing, gluing optical fiber components together, polishing optical fiber components, and it has to be at a certain standard quality all the way through. You've got to build these little components, which get eventually sealed in a little coffin. Well, I'm not joking. This is a little, the optical fiber goes into a little box, and the box gets filled with helium, and then a lid goes over the top, and a welder is a rolling resistive welder goes over and seals it in a little hermetic package. So all of that requires precision and quality. You know, everything has to be done exactly the same. So that obviously means buckets and buckets of automation. And that's what happened with the podcasts, putting it forward, realizing, oh, it has to improve this way. I can actually produce a podcast, but that's many hours of production. So I began doing the standard stuff, using the standard robot software to stitch the recordings together and interface with Blogger as if it was a sort of industrial robot online, but it's a Blogger with interfaces, and it sort of like a poorly interfaced machine. So say if there's a machine that requires a button to be pressed to operate, and you automate everything else, eventually if that button can't be automated, you're just paying a worker to stay there and just press a button, because you haven't successfully done that. And that's a little bit with Blogger. There's a few things in with it. And of course, as in a factory, you've got equipment, and you may be able to buy a fairly cheap piece of equipment which will do the job for the while, but it's just sitting in there. So that's pretty much like feed burner. It's doing the work job for the while, and it's doing a certain type of job, and you're coming back and you're looking at it and saying, oh, look, I'm going to go a bit more I'm going to replace that further down the track. And then you can see some slick equivalents to it, say WordPress and stuff like that, where everything's slick, but it's got its own salesman with it, and you just want it to do a basic job. You don't want all the bells and whistles with it. And you have to buy a sort of an executive plan which takes the golfing, gives you a free night on the Gold Coast or things like that. All these other things which aren't necessarily what you want to do, and it's not necessarily there in the long term. So the long term is actually putting the blogs into a library, a structured library on the internet in apps. And this is sort of like, at the moment you've got a drop down menu of the blogs, a historic one. If you go onto the Blogger website, you can press on the actual dates, and of course what you actually want to do is have it conceptually linked. And once it's conceptually linked, once you open a blog, you want to actually see the assets as little apps or app icons next to it. And so that's the long-range goal. And I thought, look, that would take 6 months, a year. It's only taken a very short time, not sort of... it's just the estimation. And it's important that you estimate how long it takes to do things so you don't decide to do something and get yourself stranded. Because I'm operating very much by myself, so if you attempt something too much, too long, and you actually take something apart to try and get there, you can wind up going backwards. So often, when you design something, you design it for upgrading, and often this is really subconscious, sort of the general structure of it. And this is, in general, when you have a build of something, you have a build manifest, which is a string file. And, you know, say there's generally about 5 URLs, you know, bells and whistles, names, comments, files, pictures, with it, which is people doing databases, that would be a database record, with something. And you know in advance. What generally happens is that people go around in life working in advance, working, and then they get in a data experts to restructure. They pay them large amounts of money. They restructure everything. They basically get their business, put it in a record, and put the record in a database. I've sort of just, knowing that's going to happen, made sure that as I write something, that the bits and pieces are put in one place and grab them together and put them in a file. So that basically it's nothing very spectacular. So as you do something, you generate a record, and then you can search the records and replay anything. So if something doesn't work, say you've got some, you do some software and it doesn't work, well, normally you'd have a waste product, it would be a disaster. But it just means that you can fix it up and then just shove the input in again. It's sort of, it's quite hard to describe. It's, say, you've got a podcast and various, what I call assets, linked to it, by creating a basket which records it. It means that as you modify and do a tiny modification, or one tiny modification causes another problem and it crashes, you can go back and just replay it. And that's taken a little while to do, but it's come up very well. And and then you put basic error checking, so at various points in time, rather than detailed error checking, pumping the errors from the different subroutines. So once the subroutine's up and running, it just it never reports errors again. So pumping the errors through it, I suppose it's okay if you're deploying it for a customer, you need to have that sort of thing. But in general, all I do is just check that there's the size of the file going in, the size of the file halfway through when it's sitting in the computer, and then the size of the file as it gets published on the internet. It's just all bang, bang, bang. And you can sort of see from the memory, if it didn't get written to the internet or it didn't get written to the file, you can look at it. And essentially you can go back, and of course when you fix it, you don't quite know what the problem is. And so what happens to me is I fix it 3 separate ways. at the same time, and then it generally fixes it, but then I'm left wondering exactly what went wrong, or whether it was a case, or whether I did actually fix it. But in general, so the error thing goes to 1 in 10, to 1 in 100, to 1 in probably 1,000 things that's picked up. And that's true for all data. Yeah, like even the data that you're listening at the moment, there's error correction algorithms in your little modem. You know, there's errors all the time coming through. It's just that you're unaware of it. So what's happened is that it's sort of like a software within software. So there's software to grab the podcast. There's software again to wrap it up and publish it as a podcast going up there, and then there's software again to grab that, a class of podcasts, and grab them up and put them as a series of icons down in a app, the app of podcasts, and so in your app space, there's certain locations which the podcast should go. So this will go under the lesson podcast. So all I've done is regenerate the podcast management to the actual podcast cluster management, a cluster of podcasts. I thought that was going to take a bit of time, and I think the last podcast I was going to put in the record, and that's done pretty quickly, and there's sort of no drama to it. So essentially all you do is you write, I may put it up there, you write just, I think there's four lists of things that is, oh well, there was two major, because I've gone up in a way of thinking, oh, for each podcast, for the actual podcast, would I record with that podcast what it was done? So if I got a podcast, again, I could have a full record of where it was put, you know, so I could put multiple places and it goes across. And that took a while because you had to put push in a not a while, you had to actually convert a spreadsheet string into a spreadsheet string, so it could be a spreadsheet within a spreadsheet, and it just kept on going. So you had to replace the standard spreadsheet markers with your own bespoke markers, and so when it reads the bespoke markers, it knows to create a second spreadsheet. So that's a dead end, which I didn't, you know, wound up, you know, not using. So I've got a software which you just point it to the URL of the app that you want to modify, and then you do a search, select the podcast where you want to put it, and then hit build, and it will build you a copy of the app. You know, or a copy of the database for the app, and then the app builder will read the database and produce it, so you can see this as a copy of the app. And this is a mezzanine stage. You then check that works, and it's working all the time now. So I may even just drop it. But this is there's always, so when you're doing something, although you can quote or set yourself a timeline, is generally a 50%. Over timeline, where you set up a catching area, sandbox area, just to check everything works before you move ahead. It's really hard in that case. So it catches them. It's all okay, and then burn is another button. And then if I like, you know, the general topic, it's a sort of I'm doing a podcast where books are, or book or lessons, or this new scientist. I will, or a series under a certain concept, I'll say, will record that. And what I'll do is just take a copy of the screen settings, put it in a table, a database table, you know, one after the other. And this is not like your databases you see in the call centers where everyone's data is separate. You don't want one customer seeing the other customer. You don't want two records on the same. You've got all the records. Bang, like in a table, like a summary table. Like a fax, you know, when you're sending faxes, it sends a fax of when the actual faxes were recorded. So you go through all of that, you have certain things you can copy it. You can delete something if you copy something and say, oh no, that's no use, I'm not going to use it. Or you can click on it and then actually send it. Say you've got something setting and this is it. Yeah, oh, here's, I've done another podcast under that area. You click on it, press it and it goes through. Now there's lots of pretty crappy stuff in order so that I could get in and edit it. I can't have the standard drop, you know, your drop downs where you press on it. Well, normally when you do press on it, you can't edit it. So I've had to sort of jury-rig a table to look like that. This is a table where you can just enter data, like a spreadsheet, sort of a cross between Excel spreadsheet and the actual menu drop-down, sort of a hybrid between it. And that's working well, but not quite. It's just a small thing that when you click on an area, it doesn't fully color the cell. This is to show what you edit. So you press on it, and it's a different colour. You can see what's written across. So that's not quite working well, but it's all working well. And so what's happened is that I've sort of almost sort of like going through a haunted house. You're paying your tickets. You go through, and you wind out outside. You finished it. So I was predicting this would take a few weeks to get here, but only took, I don't know, possibly a few hours to get done. And so now I'm trying to think, you know, what is the next thing. I really hadn't planned it across, and I think there's two aspects. One is to go back and get the concatenate files. I had it initially, so if I do several podcasts and I get interrupted, I wanted to stick the files back together and then collect all this so I can give this as an executable to a mate. And it's a bit of a tour de force to actually give this to a friend, because it's not just simple robot software. The actual robot software is doing heaps of things. It's got a client blogger account. It's got you've got client, bits of foreign people's software, the video editing software, the audio editing software, the web inspection software, stuff that LabVIEW really hadn't even thought of. And although people have written code, and so the LabVIEW can actually, you know, because LabVIEW controls computers, it can control the computer to control the code. So I've got to put that all together. And essentially, what happens is that I will download something, and I'll just check it out, you know, in the download section. And so I've still got the software pointing to various bits in the download section, because I've never shifted the executable. So the executable is a piece of code in your download section. Just move it to a collection area to get it all up and running. So I've just passed this sort of scary bits where I couldn't, if it all failed, I wouldn't be able to, say if a lightning bolt hit my machine about a week ago, I'd be stuffed. But now I think I've got everything. So it's okay. So you only really discover how good your backup was when it actually really goes pear-shaped. And you have some time to say, well, in my period of time, spare time, actually rebuild it. And of course people saying, what are you doing now? Are you rebuilding your software? It's probably stupid, but people wouldn't understand it. But you really want to do that in the comfort of a working piece of software next to it, so you can see it. So at the moment I've got something where you do your podcast, and I don't think it should be completely automated. It's fairly automated to the web app. Now, let's go with the web app. The web app is just the URL. And once you get the URL, you can open it, because it actually... The heck is... Okay, shut up. Okay, so there's a parrot behind me. And you know what? I think I would say that it is... Oh, no. They're talking to each other. for some reason. The parrots around here are incredibly mind-boggling. They're all Albert Einsteins, and I wouldn't say that it's parrot. Oh gosh, this parrot here is, I don't know what it does. They're sometimes quite fun. This one's coming up to me. Oh god. So you can hear that there. There's a group of them coming down here. Oh, they've decided that some stupid person's begun feeding them, so they're all. So you go out in the bush, there's hardly any birds around the place, but around suburbia, around here, so where it's a last big island of trees around our property, because everyone else is, I don't know, they're all full of rednecks cutting it down. And this one's coming up here. They don't attack you, they just sit on you. And, or if you have a drink, they stick their head in your drink and all this type of stuff. I don't know what these are coming up. This one's coming right up to my, it's just hopping its way around. This one looks a bit mangy. They actually, hello. Here you go. Come on, what are you going to do? You're going to hop on my feet? No? Okay. If I had some food, it would sit on my lap. Oh, here comes another one. Oh, okay. This is Australia for you. Oh, great. Oh, they're all around me. Okay. So that's the podcasting thing. I'm just at the moment a bit stuck about trying to think when to put bells and whistles in, when to podcast, and how to actually embed it. So I've just done the quiet thing of going around to a mate's place and showing them how to do it. And if they don't get it, they don't get it. And I'm just slowly working my way through academics and people just quietly going along. And it's amazing how people just shut the door on you. That's life. It's one of these things. It's just like tuning a laser where you strike it. Well, I call it striking. It's where you get a bit of stimulated emission. And this is exactly the same stimulated emission you want to direct your light such that it gets amplified rather than, oh God, it's like out of Alfred Hitchcock, except these birds, I just described them, a blue face, browny beak, green back of the neck, orange at the front, like a blue waistcoat, and green and the rest of them, and they are sort of like parrots as you would imagine drawn in a movie. Oh, they're pissed off. Oh, thank goodness. Okay. So I know I'm paranoid, but I would say that they were making deliberate noise to upset my podcast. Well, there you heard. That's a general, during the podomation thing. So it's coming along fine. I'll just put up the drop down panel of the different options. This is for building the actual podcast. So the podcast is okay. I have to get back in. I really haven't got back in. I've tried to. Unfortunately, I've only got $2 speakers, so I can't really hear. If I tweak the audio quality down, I don't know whether I'm tweaking it down for it's desperately poor. This king parrot's now coming around. I don't know. Those parrots are the sort of the cockroach parrots, the Rosella parrots, and then there's the sort of noble Great Dane parrots, which are the king parrots, and they're both equally intelligent. I'm just trying to think, I may as well talk about the different birds at some point in time around here. Okay, thanks a lot for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.